It's time for everyone's favorite podcast on the web. Live it off the wall. Where you give the best sports talk and info in New York.
I got a special treat for you this evening. A young man that you all know is Joe the Policeman from the What's Going Down episode of That's My Mama. I want you to put your hands together and welcome him to the stage. Big round of applause for Jackson Heights' own
Mr. Chris Shan.
It's an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. And here's your host, Chris Shan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to yet another Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. I am your host, Chris Shearn. Joe Auriemma, the godfather of YesNetwork.com, the co-host and co-producer of the Off the Wall podcast, will be joining us in just a bit. We'll say hi to Joe a little bit later. First, it's monologue time. We'll start the monologue off as we do every week here on the Off the Wall podcast, and that's by telling you we'll be talking and leading off with your first place New York Yankees. Currently 6.5 games up on the Boston Red Sox. We started this podcast back on July 23rd. Yankees were 2.5 games up on Boston. Every week since then, we've been talking about the first place New York Yankees. Every week. 7 weeks straight. 7 weeks strong. And they got into first place the night before we started the podcast. Coincidence? I think not. I think not. The Lighthouse of Hope, which I'm sure Joe's getting sick and tired of hearing, has successfully brought everybody on board. But yet there's still people on Twitter. Still people on Twitter. Not satisfied. They're still upset because they haven't done so well against, you know, teams that are going to be in the playoffs. Could you please just smile? For the love of God. Please. Here's the one thing that should not make you smile. That's the Red Sox are not going away. Joey and I looked at a couple things. We researched a couple things. And the first thing that caught our eye, since August 18th, Yankees and Red Sox playing pretty damn good baseball. Red Sox have played 14 games. They're 11-3 since August 18th. Yankees have played 13 games. They're 10-3. The Yankees do not want to let this lead slip away, and the Red Sox are playing like they don't want to get any further back. Because let's face it, the Yankees are the hottest team in baseball right now. Not arguably. They are the hottest team in baseball. And I will debate anyone who wants to go at it. With the exception of the performance of A.J. Burnett through the month of August and his first start this month. Joey and I will talk about that in a bit. Don't know what's wrong with him. Should that scare you a little bit? Maybe. But you know what? If this is, you know, if baseball's streaky and it's cyclical, this is the time you want Burnett to not be feeling it. You don't want this happening in October. So maybe he gets this out of his system now. But the Red Sox, as we told you on this podcast a couple weeks ago, are not and will not be going away anytime soon. In my last blog, the Off the Wall blog, which is also at YesNetwork.com, I brought up the fact that at the time I wrote the blog, there were 32 games left. If the Yankees went 16-16, played 500 ball, the Red Sox would have to go 22-10. If I was a betting man, I'd like my odds. But you know what? Stranger things have happened. The Red Sox have a great lineup. Jason Bay destroys the Yankees, and he's destroying the rest of the league, by the way. Poppy's gotten his groove back. Pedroia's dangerous. Euculus could just flat out play baseball. I know a lot of Yankee fans hate him, but he could play on my team anytime. The guy could play ball. This team is not going away. That's the thing you have to worry about. Not that they, you know, in the past, they lost to some good playoff teams. But guess what? You're going to lose to good teams. You're not going to go 162-0 or 0, however you might say that. It's not going to happen. This Yankee team has said countless amounts of times, I heard Mark Teixeira say it, I heard Jorge Posada say it, every time they take the field, they expect to win. But even they know it's not going to happen. It's time for fans to start realizing that you're not going to win every stinking game. I know you want to. Who doesn't? There's 162 games. You're going to lose. They lost a series to the Rangers. You know what? Currently, in their last 15 series, actually 14 series, they're 12-2. Their last 14 series, they've lost two. One to the White Sox, one to the Rangers. They made up for the one against the White Sox, by the way. All right, I've set the table with Yankee talk. We'll also talk about the Mets. And what a joke that team is. Joke! I'll tell you why when we come back. And we'll also talk Yankees. We'll talk AJ Burnett. We'll talk Jabba Chamberlain. And the new Jabba rules. Joe Auriemma, Chris Sheeran are back next with the Off the Wall podcast and some more baseball talk right after this.
Go to yesnetwork.com for the best Yankee blogs on the web. It's The Blob with Bob Lorenz, Keeping Up with the Jones with Kim Jones, The Pinstripe Bible with Steve Goldman, River Ave Blues, and much, much more. For wall-to-wall Yankees, it's yesnetwork.com.
It's Off the Wall on yesnetwork.com. Here's more from Chris Sheeran.
646-487-3668 is your two-way sports talk telephone number, as my good friend Christopher Mad Dog Russo used to say on the Yes Network. And we are back, and joining me now, as he does always in the second segment, is my good buddy, co-producer and godfather of YesNetwork.com and co-host of the Off the Wall podcast. That would be Joseph Auriemma. Joseph, welcome to the program once again.
Thank you very much, Chris. As always, it's an honor and a pleasure to be on Off the Wall.
Before we get to our baseball talk, yes, let's first talk about our trip we had recently that you just spent, you know, many moons editing and getting on the website. And I have to tell you, the first two parts have come out very well, and the third part should be up very shortly. And in fact, when you're listening to this podcast, all three parts
will be up. Right. Yes.
So, Joe, just give us a little breakdown. Give us a little tease of what happens in these vignettes.
All right. Well, it's a three-part series about us taking a 24-hour trip between three first pitches, three games of all three levels of the Yankees minor league system. We went to first Trenton on the Monday night, and then we went to an 11 o'clock game in Staten Island the next day, and we went to Scranton for the third game, the AAA affiliate of the Yankees. We did this. You threw out two first pitches. We had some good times, and we captured our journey and expedition on film, and it's really fun. It's like a kind of got a reality feel to it with more of a it's just a fun piece. It's, like I said, three parts. First part's Trenton, second part's Staten Island, third part's Scranton. And it chronicles our whole trip.
So if you've been to yesnetwork.com, obviously, to listen to this, you could also find that. It's on the video page. It's also on the front page as well.
Right.
And it'll take you to all three parts. So check that out. Make sure you check it out because it was a fun time. That one-day trip, that 24-hour trip, which, you know, encompassed three major league, minor league teams, the Double A, Single A, Triple A in a single day.
It's really funny because, you know, people are going to watch the end result, and the first part was about 4 minutes and 30 seconds. The second part was about 3 minutes, 30 seconds. The third part is about 4 minutes and 30 seconds. So for a total of under 15 minutes, but the footage that we got really was close to about 8 hours worth of footage. So you really have to, I had to take, you know, this 8 hours and really condense it to make it fan friendly.
You did yeoman's work.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
I appreciate it because we did shoot a lot. And Joey and Chris Murray.
Chris Murray, the editor for YesNetwork.com.
The editor also did a great job. So you want to get to YesNetwork.com and check that out. All right, Joe. Now let's talk about the Yankees.
Yes.
The first thing we have to talk about is the new Jabba rules. Now, you know, Girardi made a comment to Jabba when he called him into the office to tell him about the new rules. He said, we're running out of erasers because, you know, the rules keep changing. You can read between the lines of what he meant. Do you think this is a little ridiculous what they're doing to this kid, or do you think the Yankees are right for doing what they're doing right now?
I think it's ridiculous. I really do. I think that they, as I've said in the past, the only way these young pitchers are going to get better is if they pitch, if they go out and pitch. He was a starter last year. I know the Yankees wanted to protect him. He's been in the league now 3 years. And I thought this year was going to be the year where the rules were going to go by the wayside. He was going to become the starting pitcher that they thought he was going to become. I understand they're trying to protect Jabba Chamberlain, but we saw that once Jabba Chamberlain was really coming into his own in you know, mid-July, when he was on normal rest and was starting to get things going, Jabba Chamberlain was probably one of the best pitchers in the league. And now they're tampering again with, you know, how many days rest he has, and now it's, well, we want to keep him on a regular schedule, so let's only pitch him three
See,
innings.
The thing...
To me, it's too much.
Listen, I've played baseball all my life, but I'm not going to put myself, because I know people, you know, who are close to me, especially at Yes, will think, oh, here he goes again, he's Mr. Baseball. No, I'm telling you right now, I'm not a pitching coach. I'm not a major league manager by any means. But you know what? I'm allowed to have an opinion.
Yeah.
And my opinion is this. Dave Island came out and said, well, it's going to be where we rebuild him. It's going to be like a spring training type situation. The guy's been pitching all year.
Yeah.
What rebuilding?
Yeah.
What rebuilding are you doing?
It doesn't make any sense, Chris. Really.
He had two starts where he had 8 or 9 days rest. That was it. So where's the rebuilding process?
No, it doesn't make any sense. And to me, at this point, my question is, are they really protecting his arm, or are they doing more detriment to his arm at this point?
Well, who knows? I mean, last week, you brought up a tremendous point with Nolan Ryan and the Rangers, and the reason that staff has gotten better is because these young kids are pitching more, and they're getting better. They're knowing when they get tired, they're learning, basically, how to pitch.
Right.
When you get tired, you have to change up your style. When you go through the order the first time, the second time, the third time, you have to change stuff up. You
right.
can't just keep doing the same thing over and
over
again.
Well, and that's my point. Like, you look at Jabba Chamberlain, you're going to throw him 3 innings. You're going to have a 3-inning limit on him. That's one time through the order. You're not going to learn. You're not going to learn how to, change things up on the fly or adjust in mid game.
And mentally, when you go in there knowing you're only pitching 3 innings,
yeah, you have a ceiling. That's it. That's it. And to look at it that way, Chris, and to also bring up the point that, like you said, what pitching does is it builds up arm strength.
Mm-hmm.
It teaches control. And these are things that Jabba Chamberlain is having problems with right now.
We could talk about this all day, but we have to start moving on. I don't know what's wrong with A.J. Burnett. Talk about another Yankee starter. You know, Andy Pettit has been, and CC Sabathia have both
lights
been
out.
Lights
and
out.
And Sergio Mitri has shown signs of being pretty good.
And you know what? Girardi gets a pat on the back for that one because he said he believed in the kid and he had him before.
Yep.
With the Marlins. So this is a kid that he's 28 years old. He's coming back from Tommy John. As fans, you know, you're not patient with him, but you have to be patient with somebody who's coming back from a surgery.
Right,
like
no,
that.
I agree. And those three guys have been great. The Yankees bullpen has been extraordinary this year.
But,
and Damaso Marte, since he's returned, has been
has
great.
Has been good.
And I'm saying it right now that Mariano Rivera should be the AL Cy Young winner. He should be the AL Cy Young winner. I don't see anybody. Zach Greinke, yeah, he's 13-8 or whatever the heck he is with a low 2 ERA, but the best pitcher in the league this year to me has been Mariano Rivera.
Right now, 34 straight saves. And you know what? He's like a robot. I don't know. He's, what, 39 years of age?
Yep.
He's like a robot. But A.J. Burnett,
yeah.
Like I said in the open, I don't know what's wrong with him. He's had like the bizarro world August and beginning of September as opposed to CC and Andy. Andy's like having a renaissance, by the way. Good for him, because last August he was atrocious.
Yeah.
This August, brilliant. And that's baseball, though. That's a prime example of baseball.
And Andy's always been a second-half pitcher. Always has been. And actually, AJ is a second-half pitcher, too. It's just, you know, he's struggling right now.
He's struggling, and like I said in the open, and Joe, you could agree or disagree with me here, and we'll also move on this topic, and that's the fact that if Burnett's going to struggle, you want him to struggle now. You don't want him to struggle when the calendar flips to October.
I agree with that. But I also don't like to hear things like, well, you know, Jorge and I aren't on the same page. Because to me, I feel like Jorge has called some pretty good, and I know Jorge's taken flack for, you know,
the past couple years.
How he calls games, or, you know, if pitchers are comfortable. But
hasn't only been this year, let's be honest.
Bottom line is, though, during AJ's big stretch, during AJ's big stretch where he had that 11 straight games where he was really on fire, Jorge caught 10 of them. So, I mean, they need to do what they need to do to get back on track and to get their communication straight, because come playoff time, you're not going to be seeing Jose Molina catching any games. They need Jorge Posada in that lineup. They need all of their big bats in that lineup, and they need to do whatever they need to do to get on the same page.
All right, really quick, let's hit the Mets because we are running out of time in this segment. So let's hit the Mets really quick. I just want to bring up one point. You could talk about it for a minute or two, and then we'll say goodbye, and we'll come back for our last segment, which is torn from the tabloids, or what was I calling it?
I don't know.
Talk of the tabloids.
Talk of the tabloids.
Yeah, torn from the tabloids, you know, trying to be like Law and Order. But anyway, this is something from the tabloids a couple days ago, and that was the fact that the Mets are on pace to have the most walks in Major League history, so they're thinking of letting go Dan Worthen, their pitching coach.
Right.
Now listen, if Omar Minaya is the Wilpons guy, and Jerry Manuel is Omar Minaya's guy.
Right.
And they're coming back because of injuries and because of everything else. Dan Worthen's the guy that gets fired? They're talking about firing this guy because of the walks. What has he had to work with this year? What? If you're bringing Omar back.
Yeah.
And you're bringing Jerry Manuel back, the whole staff should come back. That's just my feeling. You could nitpick and fire this one or that one or Razor Shines over at third, you know, because I've heard Met fans say he's awful as a third base coach.
Great name, though.
It is a great name. But listen, in all seriousness, if you're not going to clean house, bring everybody back. Give everybody a chance again. Don't leave Worthen hanging out to dry. It doesn't matter. The best pitching coach on the planet could have been with the Mets this year. Okay? Take Dave Duncan and what he's done with John Smoltz. Take that, Red Sox fans. Take Dave Duncan, throw him on the Mets. They're still going to walk, guys.
Right.
I'm sorry. Bring Worthen back. That's all I got. The Mets are a joke. Joe, oh, by the way, Beltran's coming back for the last month. He's going to rehab and come back. For what? I have no freaking idea.
I don't get it. The Beltran situation, why are they even bringing this guy back? Just let him sit out the rest of the year. Bring all your chips back next year. Let them rest over the winter. Get them all healthy. Forget about this season and just move on now. You have no shot. As for Worthen, yeah, I mean, look, you know, the Yankees have done it over the years.
It's weak, though.
The Yankees and other teams have done it over the years where somebody's got to be the scapegoat, somebody's got to go, and he's taking the fall for it. If Jerry's not going, he's the one that's going to be taking the fall for it. Is it right? No. But is it done all the time? It's done in baseball all the time.
I agree with that. It's done all the time.
Look, I mean, look at the Yankees last year. Now, mind you, I didn't think he was a great coach, but Girardi's friend Bobby Meacham, you know, for the Yankees not making the playoffs last year, they could have let Joe go, but they didn't, and they said, okay, Bobby's going. So it's just the way of baseball sometimes.
All right, and on that note, we are going to wrap up this segment. When we come back, we'll take some things out of the tabloids and discuss them. That's next on the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com.
Want to see what everyone's talking about? Check out the 2-time Emmy Award-winning video content at YesNetwork.com. It's the best in Yankees web shows, podcasts, and features. Only at YesNetwork.com.
Want to have your voice heard? Leave a comment or question on the Yankees and anything else sports related for Chris at 646-487-3668. And now, back to Off the Wall.
You like Huey Lewis in the news?
They're okay.
Their early work was a little too new wave for my taste. But when sports came out in 83, I think they really came into their own, commercially and artistically.
Welcome back to Off the Wall podcast version here on YesNetwork.com. Chris Sheeran, Joe Auriemma, and it's time for the talk of the tabloids. First story, New York Jets place kicker Jay Feely. Don't kick Vic when he's down. Matt Gagné, Daily News sports writer, gave him a little pop there. It was his story in the paper. And Feely, a former teammate of Vic,
with the Falcons,
played four seasons. He actually, I didn't know this, has been working for months behind the scenes to help the disgraced quarterback. Feely became involved when former Colts coach Tony Dungy, who counseled Vic in prison and has since helped him find his way back to the NFL, reached out wanting to know what kind of person Vic was. So, Feely said when he sees Vic on the sidelines of their last preseason game this week that he will go up to him and hug him. Now, it also says Feely still cringes at what Vic did to end up in federal prison, but he hopes fans will be able to give him a second chance. That's a good job out of Feely to be that personally involved with Michael Vick, a former teammate.
Absolutely. I completely agree with that 100%. Jay Feely, who actually is known off the field as much as he is on the field now. I know he's on Fox News a lot. Is on a lot of these
He's got a television career.
Absolutely ahead of him. And, you know, by such a... You would think... He's a kicker. He's the lonesome kicker. But you know what? The bottom line is the guy has made his face known, you know, throughout the country. And he is a figure in the NFL now. He's a nice figure. And for him to say that is really telling.
And so. He echoed our comments here on Off the Wall with one of his quotes, and I'll give it to you. He said, if you take out your personal feelings and you look at it from the standpoint that each of us have made mistakes, and if each of your mistakes were laid bare for all to see, most of us would be embarrassed by things we've done in our past. He's definitely made great mistakes and paid for those mistakes. See, that's the most important thing. He went to jail.
Right.
He spent 2 years there. Feely continues, I'm hopeful he will take this second chance not only with football, but with his life and use it in a positive manner.
Yeah, I agree with that. And speaking of someone that made mistakes, not as bad as Vic did, but... Looking at the Giants' defensive end.
OCU Manura, he left practice after what they described as a tiff with some assistants, one being the new defensive coordinator, Bill Sheridan.
Which happens. I mean,
Sheridan said something, you know, called OC out in a film session or in a meeting. OC didn't like it. He took umbrage. They had words. OC left, didn't come back, got some text messages, you know, players were joking with him. They actually, which I thought was hysterical, when OC came back to the facility, there were wanted posters.
With OC's head on
All over the place. Wanted $1 million, dead or alive. I thought that was good. And OC said when he walked in and saw that, he knew everything was okay. He apologized to Tom Coughlin. He apologized to Bill Sheridan. He also apologized to Mike Waffle, the defensive line coach. So it seems like this is all water under the bridge, but I have to be honest with you. I was very confident, and I know it's a New York mentality. After one preseason game, we were both very confident in this team. I've been talking to Giant fans here at work, especially our buddy Paul Ferrigno, a cameraman on Yankees batting practice today, and we were talking not too long ago, and we were both saying, you know, this could be shaky. The wide receivers and everything else that's going on with the Giants right now, a lot of injuries on defense, although Michael Boley practiced yesterday. Tom Coughlin made a great comment. He said, you know, he's been gone so long that we had to take him around and reintroduce him to all the players. So, I mean, at least they're having a sense of humor about everything that's going on right now. And, you know, we've also talked about maybe the Giants not showing everything in the preseason.
But
now, as a Giant fan, you got to be saying,
I
don't know.
I'll put it to you this way. I am still extremely confident that this team is not only going to win the NFC East, but have a nice run in the postseason.
Okay.
I feel like they're not showing all their cards. They're playing very vanilla football right now. Many people have been impressed.
Wide receivers have to catch the ball, though.
Well, and
there were a lot of drop passes against the Jets.
Yeah, I totally get that. But I think that when it's all said and done, I think that these receivers are going to come into their own. I think Bradshaw and Jacobs are going to have a phenomenal season. I think they're going to utilize Kevin Boss more in the offense, and I think the defense is truly deep, and I think it's going to be a good season.
We saw this great story that's from the Wall Street Journal, and it was on Deadspin.com. Deadspin.com, tremendous site, by the way. How long does it take an athlete to make $100,000? And I thought this was just, you know,
it's pretty amazing.
It's athletes in this time to a T. Now, this is David Biterman or Bitterman. I don't know how you say his last name, but this is his article.
I think it's Spitzman.
Bitterman? Okay, Arthur. Anyway. Engine room, where the hell's my drink? According to the latest figures from the U.S. Census Bureau, it takes an average U.S. citizen a shade under 4 years to earn $100,000.
Jeez.
A-Rod does it in 6 pitches.
Wow. Unbelievable.
6 pitches. So the next time you see Alex Rodriguez with a 3-2 count, there's $100,000 sticking out of his pocket. Mr. Rodriguez has seen 1,593 pitches entering Monday's game. This was a while ago. So after prorating his salary, he earns roughly $15,856 every time he sees a pitch.
That's wow. Unbelievable.
Ben Roethlisberger, moving to football, the Pittsburgh Steelers may have A-Rod beat. If you include his signing bonus, Big Ben brought in $100,000 every 3.6 snaps he took in 2008.
Yeah, because there's only 16 games.
Which, by the way,
that's unbelievable.
Were mostly handoffs. But at least he helped his team win a Super Bowl.
Two.
Cleveland Cavaliers forward LeBron James played 3,054 minutes in the 2008-2009 regular season and made $100,000 every time he passed the 21.2-minute mark.
And that's without a championship.
It's without a championship. It's also without his endorsement money, too, by the way. So, if you factor that in...
They're just kind of... I mean, $100,000 is nothing.
Now, wait.
It's nothing.
Well, to them...
That's what I'm saying.
That's life-changing to us.
That's what I'm saying. But for them, it's nothing. For, I would say, about 95% of the rest of the population, it's something.
Despite not winning a major this year, Tiger Woods has held his own, too. He's made roughly $100,000 for every 11.2 holes he's played. That's also good for $2,329 each time he swings a club.
Wow. Well, the only thing that happens when I swing a club is frustration.
Yeah, hi. Hey-o. Of the sports elite, NASCAR's Tony Stewart may have to work the most to pay his bills, needing to navigate the oval 124.8 times to make $100,000.
Poor baby.
But he's better off than those trying to bowl for a living. Norm Duke.
Who's actually the only bowler that I actually know.
Johnny Petraglia.
Oh, stop. I like Johnny.
He did a lot of stuff in North Brunswick when I was growing up. North Brunswick,
I like Johnny
New Jersey.
Petraglia's name, though.
Hey, if you're from the
Petraglia.
If you're from the Middlesex County area, Carolier Lanes, you know what I'm talking about. Johnny Petraglia. Anyway, going back to my childhood there.
Oh,
for a
Johnny
bit.
Petraglia.
It's like Steve Mizrak in Pool.
But Norm Duke, the money leader for 2008-2009 in the PBA, has earned much closer to the average U.S. citizen. He needed to roll 2,360 frames to make $100,000. That's less than $2 for every pin he knocked down. David Bitterman or Biterman, thank you very much. That was very entertaining.
It's unbelievable.
You know how long it takes us to make $100,000 doing the podcast? 10 years. Say something funny. And on that note, Joey.
All right.
Been another great week of sports talk here on the Off the Wall podcast. You got anything else before I say so long?
I'm pretty good.
He's not the best color man in the business for nothing. I see that broadcast school really paid off, Monty. Anyway, that's going to do it for this edition of the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. Don't forget the phone number here, 646-487-3668. And if you don't want to leave a message, if you don't want your voice on, you could also email us at offthewall@yesnetwork.com. Off the wall, all one word, at yesnetwork.com. For Joe Auriemma, I'm Chris Sheeran saying, have a great week. We'll see you next time here on the Off the Wall podcast on yesnetwork.com. Take care, everybody.
Log on to yesnetwork.com for the best Yankees coverage on the web. And come back every Wednesday for a new edition of Off the Wall with Chris Sheeran.